Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, some of you may be interested in my Wednesday night television show where web video meets the issues. Tonight's videos include some online Tea Party agitprop and one of Howard Dean showing Democrats how to beat the media at their own game. That's tonight at 7:30 on CUNY TV, Channel 75 on the New York City cable systems. Oh, so Leah Nafok, the tech reporter at the New York Observer, is here, and we were going to have a discussion today about flakiness. But something just came up, and there are a couple of other news stories that look interesting, and we're sort of running out of time in the show today. So maybe we could do this tomorrow?
Whenever you want. We can.
I'm just kidding, Liam. But for many New Yorkers, the process of making and keeping basic social plans has started to become pretty difficult. In our hyper-connected world, rescheduling or simply flaking out on an engagement altogether has become so easy that it's become the status quo. Here to talk about the social epidemic, on time and on schedule, might I add, is Leon Nafok of the New York Observer, who wrote about this. Leon, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
For real. And listeners, a few calls are okay on your reflections on social flakiness in the hyper-connected era. Are you flustered or frustrated by the new trend in canceling and rescheduling right up to the moment of? Do you have some flaking out guilt that you want to get off your chest? Or have you embraced the flakiness epidemic and simply view all social engagements as possible? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Leon, is something really new going on here?
Well, I think the fact that we all have smartphones, the fact that we all are expected to be on email at all times has certain effects. And one of them is that we walk around sort of constantly feeling like we are behind on our social obligations. Like everyone sort of feels like there are emails they haven't answered. You know, there are friends that they haven't been in touch with recently. They, if you have a text message on your phone that you haven't answered, this stuff just weighs on you, and we carry it around in our pockets. So.
And it's the ease with which plans are made and broken digitally that's to blame?
I think so. It's extraordinarily easy to include someone on an invitation now. I mean, if you're inviting someone to a party or to some kind of small gathering, I mean, why not just throw them on there? It doesn't take anything. By the same token, it's much easier to cancel. There's no necessity to look someone in the eye when you're doing it. You can just send them an email or send them a text. Hey, I'm really sorry. Got a flake.
And there's not just one kind of flake, according to your article. There are some types here.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a sort of an archetypal kind of cool and sexy flake, the person who sort of just can't be bothered to keep up with his appointments. In my piece, I referenced the singer from The Strokes, who has all these lyrics about, you know, not showing up to stuff. Then Richard from the New Franzen novel, sort of this guy who just can't be counted on to be anywhere where he says he's going to be. And then there's other kinds that are sort of less appealing. There's the misanthrope who just doesn't show up because he or she can't leave the house. And there's just sort of the overscheduled, double booker who can't get there because he just has too many obligations.
Lisa in Forest Hills, does this sound familiar to you?
Yes. My personal situation is I'm a full-time mom, and I think with the way social networks are currently, there's too much obligation to be scheduled, so I actually find it refreshing to have flexibility and spontaneity in my plans. So often I'll say, can I let you know, the day of.
And is this the positive spin on flakiness?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's one solution to all this, is all this guilt that everyone feels, is to just sort of decide that we're all going to allow ourselves and each other to flake out when we need to. And
right. But Lisa, you're really saying there's a positive reason for this flexibility and spontaneity. What did your mother do?
Pardon me?
I mean, you're talking about as a full-time mom, right?
Yes.
That this flexibility and spontaneity helps you manage your life.
Yes.
So I'm asking, what did your mother do?
Something pretty similar, actually. She worked full-time. She was my parents are divorced, so she was a single parent.
I guess I mean before all this technology, because this wasn't as spontaneously possible in her day, perhaps.
Perhaps. But, you know, as I said, I feel like there's so much obligation to be at so many, you know, so many places at a certain time that with your friends, you know, you just hope that people would understand that, you know, that mm-hmm. it's so rare right. to have someone say, are you free on Saturday? Because people are booked like 2 months ahead
yes.
of time.
Lisa, I hear that. And I guess if it's so easy to break plans, maybe it's because it's so easy to make plans.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you get a Facebook invitation for a party that's happening 2 weeks from now. You say, yeah, sure, maybe we'll attend. You know, you can either hit will attend, might attend, or won't attend. And you hit might attend, someone starts to count on you, and then, you know, then you just don't show up because you forgot about it or because you didn't, you know, put it in your Google calendar.
Yeah, and the massive amount of public information that is on social networks and blogs effectively means, you know, an expectation that you're up on all your friends' activities all the time. Joan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to say that this happens to me all the time, and I do cancel, and I feel badly about it, but I have to admit that when other people cancel at the last minute, I secretly love it because it's free time that you just never have otherwise. And so maybe it makes me feel less guilty about doing it to other people.
And now you've said it out loud, Joan. So you'll feel even less guilty. You'll feel purged of the guilt.
Right, hopefully.
And Leon, you interviewed one person for your article who suggested that there shouldn't even be a social stigma against the flake. Joan is trying to shed hers, that loose plans and the freedom to break them is actually a mentally freeing state.
Right. This person, her sort of philosophy is that, look, you know, I'm not going to, well, I don't want to hang out with anyone just because they feel socially obligated to put in their time with me. And I would hope, you know, for some reciprocity in that respect. You know, when she makes plans, she says, yeah, I'll try to be there, you know, and if she's not there, then no one feels bad and she doesn't feel like she let anyone down.
And listeners, Leon's article in the Observer also references a collective guilt complex that many flakers are just learning to live with. So listeners, have you started flaking less or have you embraced your inner flake as you became aware of this tendency in yourself? Sharon in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I'm really glad to hear this come up because I'm an older person and this is driving me insane as I meet younger people. It's like, well, maybe I'll come if I don't get a better offer is the way I hear a lot of it. And I just have a tendency to just take those people off of my list of acquaintances because you can't plan anything. You know, I grew up in a world that was a little more organized. And there is, if you make a social obligation, then you keep it. You don't just like, I'll hang around until I get a better offer or I won't commit until.
So as a self-identified older person, you think something has actually changed here?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, some of my younger 40-ish friends, and we had a conversation about this the other night, is that the young kids, they have no sense of any obligation, responsibility, socialness. It's all just cell phone, you know, mm-hmm. at the last minute, or I'll text you or all this or that. And you can't make any real plans because there's nobody
willing to get pinned down.
That's the word. They're selfish,
you think
I don't care.
Thank you, Sharon. You're willing to accept that label for a whole generation?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really argue with it. I mean, I was talking to a friend this morning who was telling me that she has 5 birthday parties that she has to go to on Saturday. You know, she's not going to go to most of them probably, and she just hasn't told the people whose birthday it is whether she'll be there or not.
Self-involved, selfish, narcissistic through technology.
Yeah, I mean, it's if this technology sort of allows you to kind of cocoon yourself in this, you know, freedom, then I think it's very tempting to take that opportunity.
Kathy in Long Branch, does this sound like you?
Oh my gosh, yes. Except that I think that the narcissists are the parents who are throwing fifth grade graduation parties. And so I mean, I get invited to so many things for children. And as a childless person, I simply cannot say yes to every birthday party, every, you know, fourth grade graduation party that comes up. And I'm actually surprised that people still invite me to those things.
They know your reputation. You still do show up at weddings and funerals, though, don't you?
Yes, I do. I almost always show up for religious events such as christenings, confirmations. I will tell your audience, though, a neat little trick. If you want to get out of attending, going to an all-day wedding, reception, the whole thing for someone that maybe you're not that close to.
Tell me.
Go to the wedding itself. Go to the wedding only.
The service,
and,
because it means so much to them.
It's only about an hour and a half out of your day, and it's great.
Kathy, thank you very much. Sharonia in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sharonia.
Hi. I just want to say that the world has changed, and it's kind of good to change with the world, you know, instead of resisting it. I am a flake. I'm middle-aged, and I have a lot of professional obligations, and so I've tried really hard to compensate for my flakiness and be good about my professional obligations. But in terms of social stuff, I'm just really relieved that everybody seems to have relaxed about this.
Do you think that this doesn't bleed into professional life?
Well, I try really hard. And I think there is a tendency for it to bleed into professional life. But I, for one, and I think most of the people around me try really hard not to let it, because the consequences are pretty big when you get to be my age, at least.
Sharonia, thank you very much. She pretty much gets the last word, but Leon Neyfalk, who wrote this up in the New York Observer about technology and the new social flakiness, you want to give us a 10-second wrap?
I guess just decide whether you're going to feel bad about it or not, and then go with it. If you're going to feel bad, then embrace it, and if you feel like you can just be free, then that's probably better.
I'm glad you at least showed up for this interview.
Yeah, I was a couple minutes late, actually. But
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Maybe I'll be here tomorrow. We'll see what I'm doing.